Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. The book of Acts is the history of the rise and the expansion of the church. And in many respects, it is as timely as if it had been written this afternoon. The book of Acts speaks loudly to men and women who have ears to hear. There was a city called Antioch in Syria. It was one of the great learning centers. It had a great university, one of the finest libraries in the entire world. As a matter of fact, the archaeologists are just currently beginning to excavate sections of that great library. Perhaps in the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, if the Lord tarries, we'll know much more about Antioch in Syria than we know tonight. But we already know that it was one of the great learning centers. And in great learning centers, people of different backgrounds, different ideologies, and so forth, they come and they meet. It's just like on the campuses of our universities. You can find anything and everything there. And this is how it was in Antioch. But to that great city came a man named Paul one day, and another fellow by the name of Barnabas. And they continued teaching and preaching the word in that city. And many people's hearts were changed and they were turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. After a period of time, some problems ensued, which usually occur whenever you teach the word. Somebody sort of objects to it. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if the unbelievers objected to it. But the thing that cuts your heart is when the born-again believers object to the word. Born-again believers who just do not quite go all the way with you on the word. This occurred also in Antioch of Syria. Word had been sent down from the hierarchy in Jerusalem, so they said, that unless those Gentiles that they had been ministering to were circumcised, they were just missing the greater blessing that it was possible for Christians to have. And so these people, representing so-called the leaders in Jerusalem, had come into Syria, and they had really put the pressure on Barnabas and on Paul and to get their people all circumcised and everything. And Paul was real hot under the collar. He was mattered and a little red hand. And he said, look, you can't do that to these Gentiles. You just can't lay that on us, because God set us free in Christ Jesus. Christ is the end of the law to every believer. He laid all this on them, and the fight became very, very difficult. So they finally decided that they were going to settle it once and for all. So they went from Antioch down to Jerusalem, and they had a meeting with the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, which the leaders at that time, of course, were men like Peter, James, John. These all met in a closed session. As I said this morning, as we read a portion of this, the only time Peter has ever had any keys was in that meeting in Jerusalem. And the reason Peter had the key is because they had all these leaders together and they locked the door and Peter put the key in his pocket. That's how Peter got the key. And he wouldn't let anybody out of that place until they had settled the question of circumcision. Well, they finally got it settled. And they sent a letter with Paul and Barnabas, and they sent two men, Judas and Silas, delegates from the body in Jerusalem, back to Antioch, and said, look, These men, we love them like you love them. And we want to tell you, those that came to bother you about circumcision never did have the authority of the leaders in Jerusalem. They just took it upon themselves to go to Antioch and to molest you. Therefore, we're sorry and we apologize to you. Let's all stay in one mind with one spirit and move the word of God. Then, they continued in Antioch, and in the 36th verse of this 15th chapter, we pick up the record. Some days after all of this had occurred, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Isn't that beautiful? Paul going back to visit the twigs. Sure. Headed out. Here's a branch meeting. He stops with them. Here's a twig. Here's a WOW group. He'll stop with them. Let's see how the brethren are doing. Because whenever that man of God gets to that place where the brethren are, they will bless him and he in turn will be a blessing to them. And wherever Paul and Barnabas went, they met with the believers to see how they were doing. They instructed them. They helped them. They labored among them, taught the word, fellowshiped with them, most likely ate their chicken or their hamburgers or something. And they lived together and had a wonderful. That's the early church. It's just so much like our ministry today. The twigs, the WOWs, the branch areas, the limb areas. How blessed we are here at International tonight to have all the leaders, basically, of our limbs, the coordinators, branch leaders, all the core grads of the first and second core, all back here at International. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is when you get out in those areas and you minister among those people. So Paul and Barnabas just started moving around. And they stopped at the fellowships to be blessed by them. And verse 37 says, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was what? Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them. You know, if you flip back to chapter 12 in Acts, chapter 12, in verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of whom? Whose surname was what? That's the man we're talking about here in the 15th chapter, where many were gathered together praying. And in chapter 13, now look at that, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them. He returned to Jerusalem. He split off of the WOW field. He was assigned. He wanted to go with them. He wanted to go out witnessing with them. And they had taken him along, but when they got to a certain place, John Mark sort of got discouraged or downcast, whatever it was, and he split. He went back home to mama. Now, Barnabas and Paul want to start out again, and Barnabas says, John's back. He's come back. Let's take John along. But Paul didn't think this was a smart idea, because he had split out. Okay, maybe I'll tell you later. Let's see if it comes up. 39. And the contention was so sharp between two brothers, Barnabas and Paul. They argued over John Mark. And the contention was so sharp. Can you imagine that? that they departed asunder, one from the other. Barnabas took Mark, he sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Here's a fantastically difficult section of the Word, but it's real interesting. You can take history, you can check your Bible from cover to cover, and you never find that Barnabas and Mark got anything accomplished in Cyprus at all. Years roll by. And after a number of years, Paul, just about, well, I don't know how long before he died, or at least Paul was in prison. It's written in the record. Paul sends a letter, and he says, tell beloved Timothy to hurry over here where I am in jail, and he should bring my top coat, because it's cold. Right. It's in there. It's only a different word than top coat, but that was it. His cloak and the parchment, the manuscripts, what you and I would today call the written word of God. And he entrusted those to John Mark. Along with Timothy, these are the men who brought it. What changed? Was Paul wrong on the revelation? No. That's why Paul, being right on with the revelation, even though he and, who had the fight? Barnabas, had that real contention, they couldn't both be what? Yet they were brothers. Both men must have been strong-willed. Both thought they were right. When this occurs, there's only one way to find out. Time. Time. Unless there is somebody there who can reconcile the problem between those two strong-minded men like Paul and Barnabas. And usually there's nobody that strong around. So Paul took with him Silas. Barnabas took with him John Mark. And the record of Paul and Silas and the outreach of that ministry is fantastic. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. You know, in chapter 14, verse 26, it says, then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. This word recommended simply means sent on their way with blessing. Recommended by the brethren, just blessed by the brethren, thanking God for the grace of what? I'm thankful for grace too. Two brethren in sharp contention, Barnabas and Paul, both great, big, wonderful men of God. Real problem between them. The only answer is, it still is the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? Still the grace of God. That's why all of us are in this auditorium too tonight, by the grace of God. They went through Syria and Cilicia. They confirmed the churches. That means they established them, they blessed them, they built them up. They laid the word on them. They shared with them. And that's how the churches were strengthened. The more we can stop as we're en route. You know, you can't stop flying over Chicago, I guess, or some other place if you're in an airplane. But if we're traveling along in cars or any other way, if we can stop in an area just to bless the believers, if no more so, give them a phone call. Especially I'm speaking to you people that are responsible for branch leaderships, for limb leadership. You've got to take that time in your life to bless the believers. When you're slipping through someplace, stop and say hi to them. Give them a phone call. Tell them God still loves them and that you're lifting them. We have to have a concern and an interest among ourselves. That's what they did. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, that isn't in Kentucky. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a what? Who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, a Gentile, who was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and did what? Oh, no. No. What a contradiction in God's word. Back in the early part of Acts 15, they had sent a special delegation to get rid of circumcision. The whole church from Syria and Pisidia and all that, they had all gone together to pay for Paul and Barnabas to go down to Jerusalem and argue the case. No circumcision. And they had returned with letters and two men, Judas and Silas, back to Syria. No circumcision. Now Paul starts out and he revisits the churches and he runs into a place called Derbe. And there was a believer, a young man whose name was Timothy. His mother was a Jewess. And his father was a Gentile. But the believers in that area said, that young man has tremendous potential. Put him in the court. Tremendous potential. This is what they said. So Paul said, well, I'll take him with me. Find out how good he is. I'll let him carry my suitcase. Let him drive the motor car. Let him do something. See? Anything. But he said, before we do, we're going to have a little circumcision ceremony. I can just see all the criticism that developed. I can just see it, even though Paul never heard it, like many times you as a leader won't hear it, but the people are whispering behind your back, what do you do that for? How's come he changed? One minute he told us to do something. Look what he himself did. And I'll bet they really laid it on, Paul, when they had fried preacher for Sunday dinner. I bet they really did. They said, look, the guy, his theology's off. Man, oh man, he couldn't be right. He just absolutely has to be wrong. You know, in 1 Timothy. Second Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee, Timothy, in my prayers, night and what? Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with what? When I call to remember the unfeigned faith, the pure believing, just the absolute confidence that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois And then in your mother what? Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. This is that Timothy we're reading about in Acts 16. This is that young man that Paul said, now before we go, we're going to have to circumcise. In the book of Galatians is an interesting verse of scripture that you ought to put in your mind. Galatians 5. Verse 2. Verse 1 is real neat too. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made me free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall not profit you anything. Huh. Yet he said, Timothy, better have a little circumcision ceremony. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 9, I'll read you this one first. Verse 22. Everybody have it? To the weak became I as what? That I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save what? Some. Chapter 10. Verse 33, 1 Corinthians 10. Even as I please all men in all things, seeking not my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be what? Saved. This was quite a walk. The same man who was so adamant about circumcision, who says that if you get circumcised, you're absolutely going to fall from grace, or something, turned right around and had old Timothy circumcised. Why? The answer I've just read. The revelation was to Paul, have him circumcised. Because he became all things unto all men that he might do what? Win. Boy, what a truth. Now you see what happens. You usually go lopsided. If you're in favor of circumcision, everybody gets circumcised. If you're in favor of water, everybody gets watered. Now you could have revelation today that God would say to you, look, the best thing to do is have that person immersed. Might not be bad if you were going down among the Southern Baptists. Might work this way. I don't know. I don't run the show up there. But I do know that's what happened. Revelation was, have Timothy circumcised. And then Paul wrote everybody a letter to all the epistles. He sent one to Ephesus, Antioch, and said, fellas, I want to explain to you now why I had Timothy circumcised, you know. No. Wasn't any of their lousy business. You know why? If Paul is a man of God and he's walking like he ought to be, he has to walk with the revelation. You can't spend your life explaining what you're doing all the time. You just teach God's word. That's what has to happen. The reason he didn't have to explain it, the flesh profits what? Okay, so cutting off a little more skin or adding to it wouldn't make any difference. You know, he go around and give me skin. Well, that's what he got. It's not in that, because the flesh profits nothing. But it's in the revelation. And Paul didn't run around and write a letter to everybody and say, look, now I want to explain to you why I did this, even though I know the revelation is that you're not to be circumcised. You're just like you fall from grace. So, he had Timothy circumcised. Never explained nothing, just had him circumcised, started out. And those two fellows really had a great time. Timothy was the joy and rejoicing of Paul's heart. Many of these wonderful men that you read about early in the book of Acts, they all copped out. Finally, the pressure was on. It was just a little bit too big. They stood 2 years, they stood three, but they didn't stand four. Somebody else stood 4 years, but couldn't stand five. And along came a little fella. Really came out of the wrong background. His mother was a Jewish, but his dad was a dog, a Gentile. That's right. And yet, that's the boy. And when the chips are all down, and Paul's just about ready to depart out of this old world, he says, "Hey, Timothy, don't forget you carry on. Hold forth the word when I'm gone." You can read it in Timothy, in the epistle. Really wonderful. This is why Paul had him circumcised. He was interested in one thing, the word, the word, the word. And I'm sure he reached up in Daddy's cookie jar and Father said, "Do her, man." He did her and he started out with him. And those two men were just like a team. Nothing could separate them. Somebody said anything against Paul, Timothy hit him in the eye or something. Right. Somebody say anything against old Timothy, Paul sock him. See, the two just worked like a team. And they applied the great principles of the word together. If two agree, it shall be done. And to find that person that symphonizes with you is the word agree. The symphony, all the instruments just perfectly. To agree. Timothy and Paul were like that. That's why when those two men were on, I wish I could have just sat around on the floor just listening. I'll bet those were high times. Man, how they must have turned men and women on, changed their lives. Took them from death unto life. In one act, one setting, without any blue lights, and just move them with the greatness of the power of God. That's something. Isn't that wonderful? Well, and as they went through the city, verse 4, they delivered them the decrees for the keep. That were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at what? Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. You know why? Because they were carrying the message from headquarters right down through all of those cities. That made headquarters happy. It did. Sure did. Well, look at 15. Look at 20. Chapter 15, verse 28. Here's what they carried with them. This is the record. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye do well." Fare you well, that's all. That's what they carried. And every little town they got into, they said, "Well, now this is what the boys in Jerusalem said. And you know, we love them, they love us, just carry it out." Word gets back to Jerusalem that Paul and Timothy are telling the people in the little twig fellowship, "The brethren in Jerusalem just get real blessed if you Gentiles did this." And the Gentiles said, "Well, if that blesses Jerusalem, we'll do it." You know. So they got rid of that stuff. And the church moved. The church moved because there was a unity of mind. That's it. Verse 5 says so. "And so were the churches established, settled in, rooted in." The churches were established in the what? Faith. This is in the common faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ that everyone believed in. They were established in the faith. And when they were established, walking with one mind, holding together as a group, Paul and Timothy telling wonderful things about the headquarters in Jerusalem. Jerusalem saying wonderful things about Paul and Timothy out among the Gentiles. The churches were established. And the last phrase, it says, and increase. They increase. They increase. And if you and I want to increase today, we got to stand together. They increased in number every other month when they had a new campaign and added the members to the church. How we used to do it. Twice a year I took them in. That's right. Well, the rules and the regulates said it, you know. The denominational oil book. So every twice a year, big Sundays, we take. They added to the church what? Daily. Hey, now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. We only meet on Sunday at 11. How you put that one there? Oh, we'll start with Sunday school at 9:30. How do you put it together? You can't. The church that grows, the church that lives, meets daily. It will not live, it will not grow unless it meets daily. Oh, you have a little growth, you know. We'll meet once a week. Every Wednesday night we'll have a believers meeting and a biblical research session. You'll only grow 1/7 as fast as you would grow if you met daily. Wherever our WWs, wherever our believers are meeting daily, this ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. That added to the church what? Daily. And this is what has to happen in our day and time. Our people have to just meet daily. They hold forth the greatness of God's word, and those people who hear and who believe, the Lord adds them to the church anyway. That's right. You can write everybody's name in the book. That doesn't get them in. Got to be born again. You could write 12,000 kids' name in a book. That doesn't mean you have even had a baby. You have a baby, that name you can write in the book. The Lord added to the church. The Lord adds. But he adds as you and I minister the word. When we minister that word, it's that word that gives people the answers and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and then they're born again. That's how they're added. That's the early church. That's how it grew. This is still the church. Amen? Father, thank you for the beauty of the greatness of your word. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you for the living reality of that word and its blessing upon all of our lives. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Walter, what are we singing?
Number 34.